So the topic of this shiur is Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, Kingdom of Priests and a Holy Nation. I gave a small shiur at Beis Yitzchak a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it would be most appropriate to take that, build on it. Shavuos just happened, but hopefully the message of Shavuos is really about all of Yiddishkeit, not just about a holiday that happens to celebrate the Torah. It's really everything to do with why we are Jews and what we're supposed to do as Jews in our lives and how we look at the world. So let's have a look at those psukim, some of the psukim that lead up to Matan Torah. Shortly before we received the Torah, Hashem gave us a few instructions and things to think about in anticipation of receiving the Torah. So they traveled, the Pasuk Perek Yotes, if you want to look it up, it's Perek Yotes, the whole beginning of that Perek. Moshe goes up, comes back with some messages. The Klai Yisrael, this is before the receiving of the Aseres HaDibros. This is the initial thing they're supposed to think about in anticipation of getting the Aseres HaDibros and Kol HaTorah Kula, which is embedded in that. So Atem Re'isem, Hashem says, you've seen Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim, that which I did to Egypt. I carried you on the wings of eagles. I brought you to me. Which is essentially saying that everything that happened till now was leading up to this moment. I delivered you to Har Sinai for the sake of something very unique. It was all a miracle. It shouldn't have happened. The Yetzias Mitzrayim made no sense. We were living under a nation that was so physical and so dominant in the world that we shouldn't have ever gotten out. The fact that we did get out meant that we are owned by Hashem. We're Avdei Hashem, no longer Avdei Paro. And everything should be dedicated to Hashem, as you'll soon see. But the next sentence says something different now. V'atah, now. Im shamoa tishma'u b'koli. If you listen very carefully to my voice, commit to listening to me. Ushmartem es b'si, and you guard. You go out of your way to make sure nothing goes wrong with our deal. We have a bris. V'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim. Then you will be segula, which needs a translation, from all the nations. Ki li kol ha'aretz, because the whole world is mine. So we need to understand what just happened between these two parts of this pasuk. You will be, if you commit to keeping the mitzvahs and guarding the bris, you will be segula from all the nations. Why? Because I own the whole world. What's he saying here? And leave that on hold. The atem tihiyu li mamleches kohanim, you will be for me a kingdom of priests. That needs translation too. What does it mean to be a priest and a kingdom of priests? The goy kadosh, and a holy nation. That's the introductory remarks. Appreciate that I took you out of Mitzrayim, and if you listen attentively and commit to this, you'll be segula out of all the nations, because I own the whole land, I own the whole world, and you'll be a mamleches kohanim and a goy kadosh, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. Eila hadvar mesher tedaber al bnei Yisrael. These are the words you should say. That's it. And Rashi says, there's a medrash, not more and not less. This is all they need to know in anticipation of getting the Torah. It happens to be, Rashi has a bunch of other midrashim, that at this moment, they actually were taught the entire Torah until this moment. People assume that if you don't read all the Rashi's, that somehow that was the moment they got the Aseres HaDibros, and maybe everything else came that to them too. But actually, in anticipation of getting the Aseres HaDibros, besides getting this little speech, they were also taught the entire Torah from the beginning of Bereshis until this moment, and that included, they already learned Mishpatim in Mara, which was before, as they first left after they got over the Yom Suf. They were already taught Mishpatim, Shabbos, Paraduma, Kibbut Aveim, and a few other mitzvahs. But why was it necessary to hear all of world history until this moment? It's very much tied in to what we're going to talk about. So keep that thought on hold, and I'll get back to that at the end. So Rashi, we need to understand these words here. What does Rashi say? He translates the word segula as otzar chaviv, a very cherished An otsar is something that you keep, you store away, something that's your possession that you keep. Something dear to you. So you will be my special treasure. That's what Hashem is saying. Atem, I'm reading you the words of Rashi. Atem tihiyu li segula mishar umas. You'll be more treasured to me than all the nations of the world. Rashi continues. V'lo somar, don't say, atem levadchem shali, ve'en li acheri imachem. It's your, just you are mine, and I have no concerns with anybody else, and I got nothing. There is nobody else. And what else is there for you? You don't see any contrast to notice that I particularly love you because it's just you. No, that's not true. Because actually there's plenty of people on earth. I got all these people out there. But they pale to nothing when we think about you. So this Rashi certainly seems to be saying a very bold statement that the Jews are the greatest and everybody else is like nothing. It can be very misunderstood, which I want to strongly make sure that we don't walk away thinking that. And you'll soon see where I'm going with this. But that certainly sounds like what Rashi is saying. That we are so special, we are such a holy nation, that's just you, and everybody else is going to know that. Because I have plenty of people to notice that, and I'm telling everybody, it's you, it's not them. That's what it sounds like from this Rashi. Rashi continues, "Vatem tiyuli mamleches kohanim begoy kadosh." You'll be this kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Rashi says, "What is the translation of mamleches kohanim?" It means sarim. It means important dignitaries, ministers. And he quotes a pasuk in Navi, say in another place in Navi, "Bnei David kohanim hayu." David's children were kohanim. Well, they weren't kohanim. David was from Shevet Yehuda. They were not kohanim. So it doesn't mean kohanim. It means important ministers, like they were all princes and important people in the palace. So therefore Rashi uses a proof that Mamlechas Kohanim means we are so chashiv, it's all that important we are. It's just you, everybody else is nothing, and you're all these ministers, you're very important. Now later on, if you skip ahead a couple of prakim, when the Aseres Hadibros begins, and we get to the first two, and we heard those directly, and Rashi says we were overwhelmed and we couldn't handle it. And we were flying back, Yud Beis Mil, Rashi says, we were revived, and we walked back to Har Sinai, and we got each one of the first two Dibros. So we just didn't want to do this anymore. It was overwhelming to us. So we told Moshe, you know what, from now on, you listen, you'll report back to us. And Moshe was trying to explain to them or convince them maybe they should continue or why it was that they needed to hear the first two, different angles on this. But Yom Moshe Elam. But we're going to talk about now when they got the first two of the Aseres Hadibros. And they don't want to hear it anymore. It's too much. Okay. Now I skipped ahead to Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Zayin. That's in Parshas Yisro, the end, towards the end of that Perek. Right at the end of Parshas Yisro. But Yom Moshe Elam, Al Tiro, don't be afraid. For the sake of Nasos Eschem, translate that, did God come? What does that mean, Nasos Eschem? You should be fear of God on your face, so you shouldn't sin. But what is this, Levavur Nasos Eschem? I'll read you the words of Rashi. Rashi says that the word nasos is loshon harama ugedulo. It means raising up and making you great. Like you take a nace as a banner, it's a flag, that you raise up high. So he says, that's how Rashi understands this pasuk. It's to elevate you. Don't be scared of hearing directly from God. It's going to be good for you. You will be made great and elevated. Legadel eschem ba'olam. Very consistent with the other Rashi's we've heard. To make you great in the world. Sheyetzel lachem shem ba'umos, that you'll be famous among the nations of the world. Shehu bechvodo nigla aleichem, and he himself revealed himself to you. You take all these Rashi's, you put them together, and it sounds like we're beating our chest, how important we are. Let's just review these three sources that we heard. First of all, we have Segula, where Rashi says that it's something special. You're more special than everybody else. It's as if nobody means anything. And then Mamleches Kohanim, Rashi says, we're ministers, we are like chashuv, princes walking around the palace. And this last one, to elevate you, right? So that's why Hashem wants to talk to you, to elevate you, make you important. So that sounds like we Jews are walking around, like, don't tell the secret to anybody, but we're better than everybody else. That's what it sounds like. Is that the point over here? Is that what it means? So let me share with you what Rav Shlomo Volba writes in Alei Shor. He has an essay called Hachana LeKabbalas HaTorah. It's an essay in Chelek Beis at Alei Shor. It's talking about preparation for Shavuos. And he talks about this very point. And he says, every single thing in the world has a value. Right? This chair is worth, you go to a store, how much does this chair cost? Every item has a value. And even going to work, so different types of jobs are worth something. Per hour, what's it cost? How do you measure the value of ruchnius, of spirituality? How do you know what that's worth? So he says that, and he has sources for it, it's really the degree of kavod that thing has. That's how you measure spirituality. The degree of dignity that thing has is the way we can assess its spirituality. For instance, there's a Gemara Kedushin, Daf Mem, that says, Ha'ochel b'shuk, somebody who you find fressing, he's eating in the marketplace. He's chewing on a sandwich as he's walking down the block, in the middle of wherever he's hanging out. Doma lekelev. This is like, he's like a dog. Upasul le'edus. This is halacha. It's a halacha. And maybe it depends on the cultures, but you can't use that guy as a witness because he's not a normal human being. He doesn't have any self-respect. He's chewing food while he's walking around. He doesn't realize that there's a time and a place for everything. And I have a Hasidish aunt. She won't ever eat in a restaurant. That's extreme. Because she says, and not because of the foods, it's greasy, and because she doesn't feel it's dignified. Eating is a private matter. You eat in your house. I'm not saying that. It's a very nice chumah that she has on herself. That's not what we're talking about. But just walking around and not even understanding your own self value. So then, how can we respect your opinion when understanding human dignity is part of speaking truth? If you're going to show up at a court, we have to know that you believe in the value of a person and your own value. If nothing matters, then we can't trust that you really care about anything. And then maybe you're lying to us. Maybe you have some other reason. That's a pretty amazing halacha. So dignity is the medium by which we assess some of Ruchnius' value. Okay, there's a mission in Pirkei Avos that we're all learning Pirkei Avos these days, right, in summertime, that says at the end of Pirkei Avos, the last paragraph, Ha'osik b'Torah, someone who's involved in Torah, Ha'rezim is Allah. This elevates a person. The Pasuk says, Shenema u'mimatana nachliel u'minachnael b'mos. That's the short little shira of the Be'er. And somewhere you were tested on that in high school or seminary. I was always amazed at how much Chumash girls know far more than us guys. Anyway, there's a little short, like a three pasuk thing, it's in Parshas Balak. The two mountains that came together, and it's around there. So there's a short little shiras, maybe when the Be'er stopped or something like that. That's when the shira came out. Anyway, Rashi says there, in Avos, on that Mishnah. Here's how the pasuk is to be understood. Kibbutz shenitna lehem Torah b'matana. Since the Torah was given to them, when the Torah was given to them as a gift, nachalo kel, Hashem inherited, kelomar, meaning heviam bechelko. Hashem brought us into His portion. He gave us the Torah. Now He wants us with Him. He's owned by us. V'kibin shechelko kel. Since Hashem considers us his lot. Olam legedula. So we rise up. We become important. Same Rashi as before. Shenema u'minachlel b'mos. And from nachliel, from that inheritance, another's nachlas keil b'mos. B'mos is an elevated thing. It's not just an altar, but a b'mos is a place of elevation. We become elevated through our receiving Torah. So when we're filled with Torah, and when we have Hashem's ratzon in our mind and in our heart and our actions, we become very important, very distinguished. So, let's just think for a second before we proceed with this, whether we like it, we don't like it, whether we're going to worry about its dangerous ramifications. But what Rashi is trying, what Hashem is saying, according to Rashi, is that we needed to understand the importance of what we are about to embark on. You're becoming something very precious to Hashem. the rest of your existence till now, and the rest of the universe out there, the rest of the world, all those people out there who are not part of this experience, will never understand anything like this until one day, maybe the end of history, but they're not there now. Compared to the rest of the world, they're nothing, and this is chashuv. You are something. Realize you're going to get elevated so that you can stretch very hard and listen and appreciate it and accept it. That's the important message in this opinion. The problem is, when you focus on this the whole time, about how important you can become, you may not get the right message, and it could be a disaster. So this is, and indeed this has happened. The Chassid Yaivitz, or Shlomo Volbe quotes, in a different Mishnah Pirkei Avos writes, Ra'inu Adam, we have seen a person, Gadol B'Torah, who's filled with great Torah, Sheva Emes in a Chacham, but he's really not a Chacham at all, he's not wise. Ella, what is he? Yodea Torah, he's a person who knows Torah, he knows facts. Now the Mishnah said, Ha'osik B'Torah Ha'rezen Es Aleh, that if you are toiling in Torah, you're going to become elevated. And the Chassid Yaivitz is saying it doesn't always happen. You could be filled with facts, and the Torah didn't change you, and it didn't elevate you. So this whole thing that we're told from all these Rashis, Klai Yisrael's being told, you, when you receive the Torah, you're going to become so great, so important, and the Mishnah says it's going to happen like that. The Chassid Yaivitz is saying, he's seen people that have known, they know lots of Torah, and nothing changed. They're the same people that were before. They're not a Chacham, they didn't become sensitized to what the Torah was trying to make happen. So Rosh Hashanah tries to understand this, and he says that Aliyah in Torah, the growth that one is supposed to experience from Torah, is a very delicate, sensitive thing. For instance, that halacha, someone who eats in the marketplace, he's like a dog. There's no halacha that says you're not allowed to eat in the marketplace. You won't find it in Shulchan Aruch. It's all a subtlety. That's not really. What crime did he do? He's eating a sandwich. He's walking down the block. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong, but there's something that he didn't get in his self-respect and the dignity of being living in an elevated life. He clearly didn't get it. You can't blame him for some rule he broke. He didn't break any rules. But something's wrong. It's very refined. This idea of kavod, so you don't just become elevated. You have to be open to realizing that everything you're listening to has to change you. You're listening to the Ratzon of Hashem that's beyond you. So you have to be able to humble yourself to listen to something that you weren't thinking of before, and be prepared to commit to that. That should be a humbling experience, not an arrogant experience. The fact is that through going through that, you're going to become elevated, but that's after the fact. The goal isn't to become important. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says that Ezehu Mechubad HaMechaber Es Abrios. You want to know who's important. Someone that shows respect to other people, he realizes that it's not about him. Such a person, that guy is important. It's not because he's trying to become important. It's because that's the sign of being important. You realize that you're not Moshe. We just read it this last week's parasha. He was an of Mikal Adam. So who's the most chashav of Talmud Chacham Klaishol, if not Moshe Rabbeinu? And the Pasuk says that he was the humblest person, because it wasn't about him. It was about listening to the Ratzon Hashem. That elevates you if it's not about you. The Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died during this time of Sirus Amar, when they were being Necha, they were getting ready for Kabbalah Satorah. Dafka during this time, Shlomo Volbe says something that I wouldn't have said. He says they didn't get it, even though the Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. I don't know where Rabbi Akiva was in the middle of all this, but he says that they were learning, all of them, 24,000 Talmidim, they were learning Torah in the wrong way, and it didn't go in. They were brilliant, they could debate, and they could explain every Gemara, every Rashi, whatever, every Shat, and somehow it didn't go in. That's what Chazal says, Shalom Nagu Kavod Zehel Zeh. They did not treat each other with respect. That's Chazal say that. So, if you add the facts up, what we're saying is that something about the way they learned Torah did not elevate them. They were learning it for information, like the Chassid Yaivitz said, and it didn't change them. If you're not humble enough to learn, so we're in the best yeshiva. Back in my day, when I was teaching, all the kids wanted to go to Philly. Today, I don't know which yeshiva it is. You have to go to that. That's the place you have to go. And they're learning not because they want another Ratzon Hashem, because they have to get to that place so everyone knows they went to that place.
There is such a thing. You look at my face.
No, there really is such a thing. People do that. A lot of people do that. It's crazy. It's a strange competition of how they get in the right place, because then they get the shidduch, and then they get the rich this, and they get... It's all messed up. That's not the way it's supposed to look. And the Ratzon Hashem is that we are mevakish. We're seeking to know the Ratzon Hashem because Hashem knows what's right for us. And that's the introductory psukkah that we said. I took you out of Mitzrayim. Now you're my avodim, and I want you to listen. And if you listen, you'll become elevated. It's not the goal is to become elevated, but that's going to naturally happen. The more you humble yourself to the Ratzon Hashem, the more you become elevated. The problem is that if you don't think that, half the guys that I know, they think that, you know, the more they twist their thumbs and they say, I'm trying to mismanage, the guy knows such a London, the more that they're going to be noticed. And then they look like idiots sometimes. They're trying to be noticed, and they look stupid. And that's not what it's about. There's a funny story with the Chazon Ish. A man once went to the Chazon Ish, and he said, there's a Mishnah Berachos Avos that says, whoever runs away from Kavod, so the Kavod chases after him. Whoever runs away from honor. And he said, I don't understand. I've been running away from honor my whole life, and the Kavod never came to chase after me. It's not fair. It doesn't make sense. The Chazon Ish said, the problem with you is you're running away from Kavod, but the whole time you're looking behind you to see if it's catching up. That's not called running away from Kavod. If the purpose of the running from the Kavod is to get the Kavod, you know, like they say in the Vardik, the story in the Vardik, right? The Vardik was supposed to be a very humble place where they were just working on their relationship with Hashem. And the story goes, I don't know if it's true, but everyone says the story, that they used to sit during Musa Seder, and they would their thing was, I am nothing. I am nothing. So there's a guy sitting in the corner, I am nothing, I am nothing. The other guy there is also, I am nothing. And they're all sitting there with their sefer, I am nothing. A new guy walks in, and he's, okay, that's what they're doing, I'll start too. So he says, I am nothing, I am nothing. So one guy, the old timer who's been there for 10 years, says, who are you to say you're nothing? Yeah, wait, come 10 years and you can say you're nothing too. Right? It's a little twisted. Some people, they're out of the way, to look so humble, and, okay. There's another danger that I want to get into, and this is going to take us in a whole other direction. We'll argue on this Rashi with the Ramban, and I'll take you to Rosh Hashanah Kol Hirsh, which is really what I wanted to get to. The real danger in this is that sometimes not only do we look at each other, not the real danger, one of the big dangers that's prevalent, besides the fact that we may not respect one another if we're looking at this elevation the wrong way, but we think Jews are better than the rest of the world, and sadly, it's prevalent in many conversations I have with people. They don't realize where I'm coming from because I'm a Shtickle Hershey. And I just smile alone, and later I did I just hear that again? Putting down people and in human beings. So we'll tell them about him, human beings, and knocking everyone around them. This one's a nobody, this is a nothing, this guy's a prosta goy, and all these terrible expressions that I hear. Because they think that this Rashi is telling us. That we are the greatest, and it's all about the Jews, and the rest is nothing. Like, didn't Rashi say that? Rashi certainly doesn't mean that. He means when you receive the Torah, you become elevated, and a non-elevated person compared to that is like it's nothing. Not that the rest of the world means nothing to Hashem. Hashem created the whole world for a purpose, and He didn't destroy the rest of the world. The world is there. So the Ramban on all these psukim completely changes the translation, and Hirsch, I believe, like his derech is, started with the Ramban and then developed it further. First of all, on that pasuk, v'yisen li segula mikol ha'amin, that you'll be segula. Right? He doesn't translate segula like Rashi did. That compared to you, they're nothing. He says something completely different. He says, she'tiyu bi'yadai segula. In my hands, you'll be segula, meaning, kidavar nechmad, like a precious thing. Lo yimserenu ha'melach bi'anachim. King won't hand it over to anybody else to watch. It's special to Hashem. It's precious to Hashem. But it doesn't mean they're nothing. It means you're very, very dear to me. What's Mamleches Kohanim? Rashi said it was Sarim. You were important dignitaries. All about the Chashivas. The Ramban says, Mamleches Mishorsai. You're a kingdom of attendants. You have a job to do for me. Like a Kohen. What is a Kohen? In the Beis HaMikdash, they've got a job to do. They're representing us in the Beis HaMikdash. They're doing stuff for us. There's work to do. So we have work to do in God's world. We're Hashem's Mesharsim. Later on, when I quoted the pasuk after the second of the Aseret HaDibros, where Hashem said, Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, "Don't be afraid. It's levavur nasos eschem barlokim." Hashem came to nasos you, where Rashi said it was to elevate you. The Ramban doesn't say that. Ramban says, "Levavur hargilchem ve'munaso barlokim." The word nasos can mean lashon nisayon, a test, or a putting you through an exercise of growth. So it's in order to get you accustomed to Hashem's emuna. That's why Hashem wants to talk to you directly. Once you hear God talking to you, you know He exists, and then your whole existence will be different. Shekivin shehira lachem gilu shechina. Once Hashem reveals Himself directly, nichnas emunasa b'lavchem l'davka bo. So then the emuna goes straight into you. V'lo tiparid nashechem mimenu la'olam. And then your soul will never separate from that ever. So all of these Rambans, he totally avoided what Rashi said, and he heard the Rashi. So the Ramban lived way after Rashi. He heard this, and he said a different shot. It's not, the point wasn't you're so great, it was that you've got a task to do. Hashem, you're very dear to Hashem, and He wants to have you develop and grow. Okay, so now I must share with you some of Shamsha Paul Hirsch pieces on all of this. I'm going to read you verbatim words of Hirsch on some of these psukim. This is Hirsch on the word segula, and I'm sure he's going to the Derech of the Ramban. He doesn't quote the Ramban, but it's Pasha. He says, segula denotes an exclusive possession. Right? Isn't that what the Ramban says? I want you special to hold on to me. I don't want anyone else to watch this. A possession to which no one else except its owner is entitled. And he adds, and which has no relationship to anyone except its owner. That's us. Klal Yisrael, in other words, not only is Hashem taking this segula and He's keeping it for Himself, but we, who are that segula, are asked in this relationship, that's part of the bris, to not let other factors in existence change our purpose in life. It's not 100 things that could take you away from Avodas Hashem. It's Hashem Himself that we want every faction, every piece of our life should be about Hashem. Everything. And he continues, and he really says it explicitly. Segula sets a fundamental condition that we become Hashem's possession completely and exclusively His, with every fiber of our being, with every aspect of our nature, and with all our aspirations. That's a heavy dose. You're coming into Matan Torah with an attitude, Hashem is saying to us, I want you to realize what you're doing now, and keep in mind the earlier psukim. We left Mitzrayim. Hashem owns us because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We didn't have any ownership of our own. We had no existence of our own. Since He's the one that got us out, we are now owned by Hashem. Paro got us too. He's the one who told us as we left Mitzrayim, you're no longer Avdei Paro, you're Avdei Hashem. Hashem is saying, because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have to understand everything about your existence should be dedicated towards Avodas Hashem. Ki li kol aretz, now, Kilikalarts, the way Rashi put it, was, well, I have everybody else, but then nothing compared to you. Hirsch turns it exactly the opposite. Why do I need Klal Yisrael to be this dedicated to Hashem nation? What's so important about that? Because Kilikalarts, because I have a whole world that I worry about. And how's the world ever going to get back to where it has to go if you don't do your job? You hear? It's exactly the opposite of what you could misunderstand from that Rashi. Because I care about every human being on earth, every non-Jew in the world. That's why you must accept the Torah. And Hirsch writes, this is the beginning of bringing all of mankind back to serving Hashem. What is Mamlechas Kohanim? Hirsch says, through your word and living example, spread knowledge of God and homage to Him. And Hakar Satov Hashem, praise Hashem. In other words, like a Kohen. Like a Kohen serves Klal Yisrael and represents them. So we're Kohanim for the world. The whole world needs somebody to set an example. A Kohen sets an example. Hirsch has a big, Arichas, he has a lot to say on the subject. Have a big day kahuna, I really for Kohanim. Even though they know they're not living up to that personally, they have a long way to go. But they put on clothing that represent a certain higher ideal so that we can look at that model for ourselves and remind us of what it's supposed to look like at the highest madrega, if you could only get there. And with the Kohanim doing the Avodah, and every one of the Karbanos represents things, we can't get into that now. But that's what serving Hashem is supposed to look like. The highest level would be represented through Karbanos. So, and then to spill it out into life, which is the Chatzar, which is out in, away from the Mikdash. So too, we are Kohanim, the way the whole nation is supposed to behave for the rest of the world. And yet, even though we are Amar Melechus Kohanim, we are Goy Kadosh. Even though we're supposed to concern ourselves about the well-being of the whole world, nonetheless, we're separate. Goy Kadosh. Kadosh means separate. As a community, Hirsch writes, this is his words, as a community making an impression of holiness, a unique nation among the nations, not living for your greatness, but for the establishment and glorification of the kingdom of God on earth. Now, I wrote here, I didn't want to bring it to start flipping through my book, but the 19 letters in letter 8, after the entire book's most beautiful, beautiful book that you really all should read, every Jew should know the 19 letters by heart. I really mean it. It's like Judaism 101, if you ask me. At least the first 10 chapters. Not, maybe the second half is how he divides all the mitzvahs into the system that he talks about in the beginning. But at least to know what is the world, and what is the purpose of our Klai Yisrael in relationship to the world. All of that is beautifully explained in the first half of the 19 letters. So there after he leads up to this point, he has another twist on Goy Kadosh there. He says, even though our hope is to change the world's attitude towards what elevated living is supposed to look like, but until Achras Hayamim, until the end, we have to separate from them. We have to live as a separate society so that we don't dilute our own mission of what life is supposed to look like. We can't set an example for them if we end up being dragged into what they are. We're trying to elevate them. We care about them. We're concerned about them, but we can't do anything for them if we ourselves lose our purpose. So, therefore, be a Goy Kadosh, be a nation that stays separate and apart from that. Hirsch writes in his parash on the Chumash, exactly the same with Avraham Avinu. When Avraham came to Eretz Canaan, the first thing he did was he went between the mountains and between the valleys, and he always was, he set up a mizbeach and he called out the name of Hashem. He never went into the cities. He had a mission, he called out the name of Hashem, but he never went into where the people were, because that he knew once you get diluted, then you lose your ability to be an example. So I want to share with you very briefly, because I was told I have to have some question and answer time also. I'll give you, like, hopefully within less than 10 minutes, a summary, a really brief summary of what happens in the first half of that book of the 19 letters. Because all I said was a vague notion of to be this nation setting a higher example. But what exactly is this understanding of what is this tafke? What is this job of being Klai Yisrael? So Hirsch starts out the book of the 19 letters by saying that first study the world. The early psukim of the Chumash, the early prakim of the Chumash, talk about the universe as a system of tzedakah u'mishpat. There's these regulations, how Hashem set all these rules in place, where this is how the rain goes, and this is how the grass grows, and this is how the planets are in these positions, and all these things about all these rules of science, rules of nature. And yet, if you study what happens, they're not just set in place, but each part of the universe is taking and giving. He has a whole page of beautiful poetry on the subject of how the rain comes down and the earth absorbs it, and the earth gives it back to the clouds, and all the wind blows in it. It's a whole system where it's give and take in the whole universe. Read the page there, you'll find that it's beautiful, very inspiring. The Bria. All aspects of creation do this. All of the Bria lives this way. They're all taking and giving. And they don't have any free will to do that. They just do that. That's how they were programmed. That's how Hashem made the world. The only part of the creation that doesn't have this automatic thing about living this way is man. Man was put, and the initial story of Gan Eden brings it all out, to be put into one spot, one thing only for man to do, and that's to listen to Hashem. The rest of the universe listens to Hashem, and it knows this. It just automatically does it. It takes and it gives, and that's the whole universe. We are also supposed to do that by studying the universe and understanding and listening. And if you will listen to the rest of Hashem, you will also come to live a life of taking, but taking for the sake of giving. That you don't get sucked into your physical possessions, but you realize it's there for some higher purpose. Throw it back into Avodas Hashem. Everything that you have is a bracha for the purpose of elevating it and making it holier. The problem is that it's not natural always to do that, and that was the whole, I can't go chazer the whole Hirsch on Chumash now, but the chait was that the Nachash said that it seems right. Why don't you try it? It looks right. You feel like it's right. You, if that's what you want, it must be what Hashem wants. Because you feel so right. It looked, it's a beautiful tree. It looks tasty. All the roads of the Gan Eden lead to that. It seems right. It must be right. That must be the voice of God speaking through you. He told you not to. It's a kasha. We'll find the teretz later. But it must be that that's because you feel so right about it. And that's where we always trip up. We're so sure that what we think, what our urges tell us, is what's right, because it's just so natural to listen. For a snake, it's right. For the rest of the world, what they feel is the Ratzon Hashem, because they don't have free will. Their urges are exactly what they're supposed to do. And for man, that's exactly where we have to struggle and understand that the Ratzon Hashem will lead us to a higher and better path than what we think is right for us. Finally, after man, unfortunately, keeps going lower and lower and lower, Hashem picks one person out of which he's going to build a nation, and that's Avraham Avinu, which is going to get the world back on track. Away from it, Hirsch talks about how this selfish approach is really how Avodah Zarah comes about. I'm not going to get into that now because it's going to take too long. But Avodah Zarah itself, the source of Avodah Zarah is this wrong attitude. Avraham Avinu fights that. And it says that when right before Hashem was about to destroy Sodom, very famous pasuk, which everyone has their own spin on. This is what the pasuk says: why must I tell Avram what I'm about to do to Sodom? Ki yidativ, because I loved him. That's what Rashi says. Yidativ means l'man asher yitzaveh es banav. Why do I love him? Because, well, this is Rashi's translations. L'man, because asher yitzaveh es banav es beis el achrav, because he will command his children and his household after him, what? V'shomer derech Hashem, that they should guard the way of Hashem. Listen to the Ratzon Hashem. La'asos tzedakah u'mishpat. There it is. The same thing that operates in the universe, that the universe knows naturally that man struggles with. Avram Avinu chapped onto that. He really understands that's what we need to do. And Avram is dedicated to making sure that the Ratzon Hashem will be carried out, which will get us to a world of tzedakah mishpat. So that's why Klal Yisrael was picked. Because the world forgot what tzedakah mishpat was supposed to look like. And Klal Yisrael, through Avraham Avinu, has it partially in their DNA. But they're not ready yet to just be that. Why didn't Hashem just pick Avraham and we're done? Have Klal Yisrael starting from Avraham Avinu. Because we weren't ready yet. Golas Mitzrayim was there to painfully, basically create a nation that literally had nothing of its own. And that's the whole point. By the time we get to Har Sinai, after we've taken out of Mitzrayim, we, with the DNA from Avraham Avinu, are now realizing that our entire existence is Hashem's. Now, hopefully, there's a beginning of a start of a nation that could live a life of dedication of everything to Hashem. So when you have all this bracha and all this success in life, if you realize that everything is Hashem's, you'll throw all that back into Avodas Hashem. That's the hope. The truth is, we already been given the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. We didn't have Eretz Yisrael yet. That was a year later, 40 years later. It was supposed to be a year later. But the point of Eretz Yisrael was to give us a place where we can have more bracha through living by the Ratzon Hashem, where the world's going to see this incredible model society. Look at this nation. They do the Ratzon Hashem, and even in the bracha they get, they take maaseros, they take truma, they bikurim, carbon armor, all these things that pay off, all these things that happen in the produce of the land that they dedicate to something before they take it for themselves, to something higher. And the whole system of halacha, of how there's a fairness to everything, it's not just arbitrary halachas. There's a pasuk that we say in Tehillim every single morning. You say the halukas and shachars. It says the mishpatim bal yidaum haluka. They don't know. The rest of the world doesn't know mishpatim. Ayeska kasha. Hirsch has a kasha. What do you mean they don't know mishpatim? Talmud Chazal say that the difference between mishpatim and chukim is mishpatim you can figure out for yourself, and chukim are the ones that you wouldn't have understood. So what do you mean the world doesn't understand mishpatim? They could have. It's just law, civil law. Everyone can figure out what's right and wrong. So what do you mean they don't know mishpatim? So Hirsch explains, Chukim and Mishpatim. That's our Mishpatim and not their Mishpatim. Jewish Mishpatim, civil law, is not God's civil law, is not the world's civil law. It's on the way there, it's pretty good, but it's not what Hashem, it's not the ultimate of what Hashem wants. Civil law is expedient, he puts it. It's convenient. It works out well. I won't kill you, why not? So you won't kill me. I won't steal from you, so I'll be happy that a cop gives me a ticket, in theory, so that you won't crash into me the next time I'm driving on that street. So it works for society, but it's not because that's the right thing to do. It's because it's convenient. It works out well for everybody. Chukim are Klal Yisrael's only. Things that are beyond it, that refine us in a very special way, which only Hashem understands in the deepest way. They refine us to be prepared for a higher level of Mishpatim. The rest of the world isn't ready for that yet. But when Klal Yisrael lives on a higher, more elevated society, if we would just be that in Eretz Yisrael, then it would be the most amazing existence. And the Mashiach would have come then, because we would have had the Ma'al society, the world would have studied us, and they would have just copied us. That's why Shlomo Melech married all these wives. He was hoping that they would all have embassies in Eretz Yisrael, and the world would come to study what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. And that is what he tried. But the rules say you don't have too many wives, and Shlomo thought he was smarter than that. So that didn't work out. But that was what he had thought of. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to have the world come to Eretz Yisrael to study what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. That was the moment it was the Mamash, just building the Beis HaMikdash. It was the peak of what we look like. So to sum it all up, it's true. We do become elevated. We do become refined. But it's a double-edged sword. You become arrogant and self-centered if you don't realize it's really about humility, this becoming elevated. It's not about becoming chashav. Becoming chashav, you look stupid, you're not chashav. I would imagine that Rashi and the Ramban and then Shmuel Hirsch would agree to each other in this whole shmuz. It's just that they learned the psukim differently. But what I hope you take away from this is that Klal Yisrael's, when you walk down the block and you wonder, or maybe you don't, but you should wonder, is anyone looking at me? It's not like many kids, they get everyone. You go to elementary school, you're going to go to the museum, and the Mora tells you, okay, everybody, make sure that when we're in the museum, you don't push, you don't shove, you don't talk out loud, because you don't make a Chil Hashem. What do you think about us? So that's like a very nice schmooze for like a fourth grader. So what is the Yom HaKichul Hashem? Don't make Jews look bad. And why? What's that about? Why not? What's so terrible about it? Because we don't want to hate us? We don't get in trouble? Is that what it's about? For a fourth grader, maybe that's as sophisticated as you can get. But hopefully at some point you can hear something deeper and more elevated. That's what I'm trying to convey to you. It's not about don't make the Jews look bad. We have a mission. We're supposed to be setting an example for the world about what it's supposed to look like. Long before that Mora tells the class, don't push and shove on lines in a museum because you're going to look stupid and you look bad, they should have been having a class about this that I just told you today. Don't you realize what your tafkid in the world is? If you understood every day that that's what you're about, then it's exciting. The first moment you get to the museum, here we go. You can tell them more what you're planning on doing, because this is a moment when we can actually shine and someone can notice this. It's not in order to not look bad. It's in order to be a model society for the world. That's what we're here for. So someone needs to re-educate elementary school kids afterwards about a more sophisticated approach to what it means to be an Or L'Umim, to be a light unto the nations. It's actually once I was in yeshiva and somebody said, oh, Hirsch, you know, he made up that whole concept. Or I had a good laugh later when I found it's a pasuk and Navi. Like, no, he didn't make that up. To be a light of the nations, a pasuk and Navi, that Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to be that, this model society. I'll share with you one sad story. I was in Borough Park many years ago, came early for a chasana, and I had a half an hour to spare, came early. And I was walking up and down 13th Avenue, I was in front of a fruit store, and I was watching this poor Mexican guy trying to get into his fruit store. He had this big wagon with like three heavy things of fruit, and he was just waiting to be able to roll it into the front of the store. He brought it from the storage place. I was watching this for many minutes. There must have been 50, 100 or more people walking right past the guy as if he didn't exist. And I mean, he kept on waiting, and nobody even noticed the guy. Eventually, I think, you know, he finally got through. I wanted to tell the guy, on behalf of my nation, I apologize. But that's so pathetic. Where does that come from? That comes from thinking, wrong shot in that Rashi, that we're better than you, so you're like an ant, you're irrelevant, so we have to go, so get out of my way, I'm going somewhere. And it's so sad, it's so warped. Imagine if that guy would have looked like it should have looked. Imagine if every single person noticed there's a human being trying to get through. Please, sir, go through. Imagine he would have walked home and it would have been natural eventually to say, that's a dignified nation, that's beautiful. I ought to be like that. But we walk home, we pat ourselves on the back, we're so chashuv, we're so holy, and they're making fun of us. Every time, sadly, a Jew gets caught cheating on their taxes or some rebbe gets put into jail for cheating on taxes, or they go to Lakewood and they cheat on their taxes. It seems to be a common thing. We forgot. Never mind that it's a halacha. You know, this din of machus din. You're supposed to keep the laws. Never mind that. But we've ruined our entire purpose of why we're on this planet if we do things like that. That's what Chil Hashem is. Not because they think the Jews are bad, but because now, how will the world ever get to where it has to go? How will the Ratzon Hashem ever be? That's what you should cry about. Not, oh yeah, no, another Jew looks bad. That's like for fourth graders. When that happens, you should cry that, oh yeah, the Ratzon Hashem. How will the world ever understand what it's supposed to look like? Okay, so hopefully now you have a little better understanding of what it means to be a Mamlechus Kanavir. I'm talking to myself, believe me, I got a lot to learn too.